Hello, everyone.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nicole Tomasini, and I'm filling in for Gwendolyn Barry on the Sunday show here on Here We Monsters. And we'll play a little song here about On a Clear Day, on this day that in New York looks like Camelot is Larry or Verisaghi. So let's clear it up.
Around you, and you will see who you are. On a clear day, how it will astound you that the glow outshines every star. You'll feel parts of every mountain, sea and shore, and you can hear from far and near a world you've never heard before. But on that clear day, on that clear day, you can see forever and ever, ever.
And that was On a Clear Day, and we're waiting for our co-host, Jack Jodell to call in, and hopefully we'll be joined by Tricia Poole from Roundtree 7. And while we're waiting for them, I guess I'll talk about the flu shot and whether the flu shot is actually necessary. So my opinion is that the flu shot is not necessary. And I was talking to Tricia before the show, and she pointed out the fact that the flu shot really only deals with the flu from last year, not this strain. So already it kind of makes it null and void, you would think. And, yeah, I mean, I think we should give ourselves a little bit more credit in terms of our immunity, because we definitely have all the tools that we have that we need to heal ourselves and to get through anything, really. Of course, modern medicine is important, but I don't know, it just seems a little bit like they're trying to come up with whatever excuse to stick a needle in your arm and put something that is not necessary in there. And we have a caller. Looks like it might be Tricia. Hello,
yeah,
caller.
Hello.
Hello,
Trish.
It is Tricia. Hi, did Jack make it?
Not yet. I just spoke to him right before. Because
sometimes
be
I think Gwen has to call him. I'm not sure if she has to call him in or what.
Oh, interesting.
I'm not sure. I vaguely recall that sometimes, because there's a way you can add a guest on, but I don't remember, and I am not fluent on a blog talk dashboard. I don't know how to do that. I've tried.
Well,
it's intimidating. And, it's not that bad. I know how to turn on a song, but that's about it. I went to your Facebook page and put a couple of those links to the articles. Is that Jack?
Ooh, I guess when
good
you
afternoon.
Call in, there we go. I didn't realize that I was going to have to call you in.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Okay. Well, we got our snafu taken care of, I guess, for the afternoon.
Number one, anyway.
You know, a little bit of bumper cars, but now we're going.
Now we're going. That sounds good. Is that Gwen?
Yeah.
Oh, how are you doing, Gwen?
No, that's Trish.
Oh, Trish. Good. We were able to get a hold of you. That's great. Super. Well, that's great. Yeah, we have kind of an open forum today, I guess. There's nothing really on the docket to discuss specifically, unless one of you two ladies has something. But we can certainly just shoot in the dark like we're going to do, I guess. So.
Well, I started talking about the flu shots, and Trish had brought that up, if it's really necessary or not. So I gave my thought, which is
sure.
No, and I feel like
I get one every year, and I've noticed the price keep going up every single year since they first started doing it.
Well, therein lies the point. I mean,
right.
I mean, I work around little kids, and I have a autoimmune issue, and so my doctor always suggests that I get one.
Yeah,
and I mean, but I feel like. You know, I mean, my body's full of poisons already anyway, you know, because of my, because I drink coffee, I drink liquor, I eat sugar,
sure.
And, you know,
yeah.
I walk down Broadway and God only knows how many fumes, you know. And, you know, and I've recently learned about how the plastic that they've been lining the canned food that we eat,
right.
That plastic contains
carcinogens.
Well, actually, it's endocrine disruptors, and what happens
really?
Is that these, at very, very small levels, like the test, okay, certainly they're tested, but they're tested in isolation and they're tested at higher levels, whereas if you have ultra small dose exposure, like one part per billion or something like that over a length of time, it can alter genetics.
And just think of the millions and millions and millions of plastic soda pop bottles that you're consumed every day.
Well, yeah, the water bottles and that sort of thing. And so what, you know, I became aware of, well, I saw this little snippet of a documentary where some American toxicologists and endocrinologists were talking in Scandinavia about this. And the connection, it was right after the Connecticut shooting when, because there's evidence that these genetic endocrine disruptors can affect behavior. So in small children, and they grow up to be fucked up.
Well, I knew there was a reason for all this craziness, maybe that's the reason right there.
Like regarding vaccinations, I know a lot of people feel very strongly about the connection between vaccinations and autism, but, you know, I don't think that alone, you know, and just speaking as somebody with a nephew who has autism, and then I work with autistic kids, and the punchline here is, like, I do think that when you introduce poisons, into the body, especially in heavy doses in very young children, it can cause problems when there are other things going on too, like these plastics in the environment, or, you know, like my sister points to the preservative in contact lens solutions and things like that, that you know,
and the rising carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere too. I mean, there are a number of things that we're doing to ourselves that we can't explain, and we don't fully know enough about to really do anything about it.
But okay, maybe some scientists will trot out some studies, and they'll say, okay, we tested the bejesus out of this certain substance, but they tested it in isolation, not in connection with the other substances that are here. And so we wind up, I mean, like, it comes back to things like when you're talking about the flu shot, and also, like, all of a sudden, how come peanut butter kills people now, and we used to eat it, we all ate it all the time.
Yeah, constantly, right. Yeah. Boy, that was a staple growing up.
And so what's different now? Well, you can look at DDT. You can look at petrochemical in the environment, you know, in the watershed. You can look at GMOs. You can look at high fructose corn syrup. You can look at all this stuff. And so, you know, again, we're a country now that has, you know, our immune systems are so compromised.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like when all kinds of people do not have insurance and these flu shots are costing, you know, 25 or 30 bucks, it's Duane Reade and CVS.
Let's talk for one moment about, we'll come back to the flu shots. I want to definitely discuss that. But let's talk about the high fructose corn syrup. For many, many, many years, I'm in my 50s now, and for all the time I was growing up, I was a string bean. I mean, if I twisted one way, I'd disappear. You know, I was so thin. I was always underweight. And, you know, a certain amount of us, we all gain weight as we get older. You know, it's just kind of our natural human tendency, I think. But, you know, I weigh probably 100 pounds more, or almost 100 pounds more than I used to, you know, just 30 years ago. And just coincidentally, 35 years ago, they started allowing the introduction of high fructose corn syrup into everything.
Wow.
And if you look, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. It's in salad dressing.
Oh, my God. It's in everything.
You know, it's in everything. If you look at, like, Land O'Lakes low-fat half-and-half,
yes.
First ingredient is high fructose corn syrup.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, and it's, I swear to God, I can never find this reference, but I read like 2 years ago that somebody that was a retired general from the military after Vietnam came back and got involved in high fructose corn syrup.
You know,
and when you think of, I mean, I'm paranoid of the military anyway, okay?
Well,
think of things like it was the military and Homeland, like the head of Homeland Security invented the naked scanners and then sold them to the government, you know, it's give me a fucking break, okay? That happens all the time.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, but I mean, I really believe that the high fructose corn syrup is at the root, in a lot of ways, of a lot of fat ass Americans sitting around.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
wrestling on TV.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've always been a nation of leisure. And, you know, with all the, especially since the 80s, especially the craze toward all the fitness programs and all that stuff, and you look at today, there is a record, and even among our children, there's a record amount of obesity. And, you know,
absolutely,
it just can't be just diet-related. It has to be an outside agent, and I tend to believe that it's high fructose corn syrup. I'm going to shut up on that topic, and we can discuss original menu.
I really think that it's especially when you consider that the corn that they're using is also genetically modified.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and a lot
so
of our milk is now too.
Well, yeah, and so
I refuse to buy milk treated with BGH, bovine growth hormone.
Well, you know, and that's just
we're the only country in the world that allows it.
Mm-hmm.
Canada says no way. Europe says keep it, guys. We don't want it. We won't have it in our countries. You know, we're the only country that allows it because of the strength of people like Monsanto and people like that to introduce this crap.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like Bolivia has recently outlawed GMOs, and the only people they instituted a Mother Earth law, they called it, so that the whatever the earth needed trumped whatever the corporations wanted.
Uh-huh.
Largely because they were losing a lot of their rainforest to
yes,
crops. And the
right,
only people that complained about the new law were those who were planting genetically modified soybeans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and whole countries are saying, no, you can't bring this genetically modified.
Well, I applaud Bolivia for her courage, especially since she's a small country, but especially since they introduced that new very leftist president who's really taken charge and has started kicking his heels around, and I'm glad he's doing that.
We could all take a lesson from that, I think.
Yes, exactly, especially in this country.
and it makes you slow in the head. It really does. The funny
it does.
I stopped drinking milk about a year or two ago. And I just saw my consciousness, my meditation, everything. Like, I could focus better. It really made a huge difference. And my father always said, even before all this genetic modification growing up,
right,
he said, you know, unless you're a cow and you have four stomachs to process this milk, especially,
right,
you know, with all these processes that this country puts it through, there's
right,
no way you're going to get any of the benefits, the calcium, anything. We
right,
just, it just goes right through you.
Yeah, right. It's really disgusting what's happened to our diets as a result of the introduction of these chemicals that are really unnecessary, and they're only there to either increase volume of product manufactured or to pad the profits of major corporations that either develop the products themselves that are the things that modify them. And, you know, we are so obsessed with profit in this country. I mean, it's killing us. It is literally killing us. And we've got to get smart. We've got to get smart quick.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing also. I think all this high fructose corn syrup and all of these chemicals are also dumbing us down, and therefore,
right,
you know, the focus isn't there. I mean, that's how you create sheep.
And that's how the
sheep,
Tea Party
gets
created.
Right?
You know, extremists.
In your cereal, yeah, every morning, your Wheaties of death.
right, yeah.
One of the things I read about this week was how McRib sandwiches from McDonald's contain a chemical they use for bleaching their flour is this, you know, in the buns, I guess, is the same as they use to bleach yoga mats.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's like I'm reading here from care2.com, and I'm going to be this is a little hard to say. It's azonicarbonide, aluminum sulfate, and polysorbate 80 are just three of the 70 ingredients that make the McDonald's McRib sandwich.
Wow.
Even though these chemical ingredients are in small enough quantities that they may not otherwise be harmful to your health, it is worth noting these three chemicals are used to put things in perspective. The primary one is this one I can't pronounce, a bleaching agent also found in McRib. This chemical, in addition to giving your McRib bun that fresh white appearance, is also used to manufacture shoes, foam plastics, materials such as gym flooring, and believe it or not, yoga mats.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah, all the things we don't want to ingest.
Yeah,
well, that's
another
of a long line of reasons to not spend too much time at McDonald's.
The fact of it is, you know, the way they market these things, McDonald's creates an illusion of scarcity, and so they release it at only certain times of the year with no fanfare. Mm-hmm. The people hoard them. They sit down and eat six of them, and then we wonder why we're not a healthy country.
Right, yeah.
When we're eating yoga mat bleach, how disgusting is that?
It's constant.
That's gross.
It's pervasive.
Okay,
it's everywhere.
Gross. You know, but when you consider these substances that, endocrinologists and toxicologists around the world are banning that we have in our food, in our environment, like the cans, like on the material that is lined, the plastic around baby bed mattresses, all these plastics that are everywhere in long-term exposure to low dose. Even the cell phone radiation during pregnancy can, a study came out where that is showing that it affects behavioral characteristics and in the children so that they're growing up, with an extra dose of ants in their pants. So how that's affecting learning, how that's affecting behavior, and how that leads to, when we're throwing that together with a society where, the whole gun control thing that we're talking about now, I don't think you can go anywhere without getting involved in a gun control conversation.
We're obsessed with guns in this country, and people are so paranoid, and this insane notion that the government is plotting to take away everybody's guns, that is the craziest thing in the world. You know, we allow more guns in this country. No other country allows personal ownership of guns to the extent that we do, and they certainly don't allow automatic and semi-automatic weapons to be privately owned. What is wrong with us anyway? You know, the Second Amendment argument is a bogus argument. First of all, the Founding Fathers never intended it for everybody in the whole country to have their own gun. They intended it for guns to not be restricted in case the state needed them for militia purposes to combat an outside threat. And, it's been twisted and turned into this bullshit about, everybody's got to have their own gun and they've got a right to it. Well, we don't have a right to it. That's crazy.
Interesting thing, I read there was an article in The Atlantic this week, I believe, that was talking about the history of the NRA, as a matter of fact, and was looking at how Ronald Reagan, if you look at the Second Amendment, and there is plenty of evidence to suggest that all this had to do, the idea of a militia was a lot to do with slave uprisings in the South.
Right, mm-hmm.
And that people were not wanting, they wanted the right to squelch a slave rebellion with a militia if they wanted to with their weapons. And after the freedmen were about, you can see how the Klan came around. And they didn't want, the advice to the freed slaves was, when they were leaving the Civil War in the Union Army was take your gun with you because these crackers are crazy, right?
Sure, exactly.
So when the NRA starts coming, then it became some sort of association that was primarily focused on marksmanship because some of the National Rifle Association, I can't remember what they called it, but they were appalled at what bad shots the city boys were.
Right.
And so originally it was this little thing where they were focused on gun cleaning and marksmanship in case, you know, we needed to do, you know, in case there was a reason for this. Mm. But when the Panthers were out, when the Black Panthers were out years ago and walking around armed up into the city hall in one of the cities in California to say that, you know, the police are killing us and we need to be defended against the police, which they weren't wrong. Okay, Malcolm we're not wrong. The cops were shooting them and all that shit.
Yeah, just taking target practice.
And so Ronald Reagan, his own self, Ronald Reagan himself was involved with the NRA and gun legislation and gun control at that point because they didn't want the Black Panthers running around with guns.
Right. Yeah,
and then they started outlawing Saturday night specials. This is like in 77 when we're like in high school.
I remember that.
Okay. And so this was all about crime and Saturday night specials. And somehow I would have to reference the Atlantic article to get the history.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm going to look into it. That sounds very interesting.
Well, David had posted it over in the Roundtree Room. I bet I can find it if I do.
Oh, sure. Okay.
But it's like, but, you know, now the whole thing has become not a, you know, it's not about gun legislation at all. It's about, you know, Walmart selling more weapons than anybody in the Western world, you know.
And every crazy in the world thinking, I've got to have a gun, they're out to get me. They're out to destroy my liberty. They're out to take my freedoms away.
Well, and those guys
that's
in
insane.
Portland walking through suburban streets showing their guns, you know, like they had an armed
coming into courtrooms and blowing away judges and lawyers and stuff. That's crazy.
You know? Yeah, I mean, no, they've lost that, you know, and so we
and,
have...
And little children in classrooms, for God's sakes.
Well, and see, and here we go. I mean, we have all of this evidence that we have cognitive and behavioral disorder that's started by GMOs and plastics and other environmental toxins coupled with an atmosphere where, you know, you need to be shooting. You know, it's not like people are out in the backyard shooting bottles off the fence like they used to. They're blowing shit away with the damn, you know, all this stuff that they need now. And nobody needs, you know. And it's when you look at, you know, it's not like people never shot up their workplace before and things like that. The issue is, like, now with the automatic weapons,
and the frequency. And it's happening all the time, you know?
Well, you know, people are getting more and more disturbed. It's depressing out there. It's a fear-based environment.
Right.
And everybody's losing their mind. You know, people are losing their mind. And I always... have to go back to I think it's weird that we live in a country where there's a vocabulary word for shooting up your workplace, which is going postal. You know, this is our society. We have a vocabulary word for it.
Well, we were built on that. I mean, we came here and basically took over by force, so it kind of seems like the chicken's coming home to nest, you know. It is a very interesting cyclical, it's like, well, we took by force, and now we also still have this force, and it's also, you know, 4th of July is very sort of this gun-tooting, rah-rah, you know, we have a lot of...
Yeah, and the rocket's red glare.
Right.
That's right. Bombs bursting in air.
We have an obsession with violence and with guns, and, you know, people, I have long maintained that people... have confused assertiveness, which is good, with aggressiveness, which is bad. There's a big difference between both those A words, and I wish people would learn the difference between the two, because assertiveness is just standing your own ground and protecting your own ground around you and your own rights and things like that, and aggressiveness is going over and kicking another guy's face in. You know, we're too much aggressive, not enough assertive. It's just ridiculous.
And to have the calm to be able to stand in your assertiveness with your, you know, protection. Everyone has the right to protect themselves, of course.
Right.
But, of course, there is that line towards, you know, going out and ruffling somebody else's feathers.
Or going into a school and shooting children indiscriminately and their teachers.
Yeah,
I mean, this is crazy. And for the NRA advocate that, the problem here is not enough guns, and every teacher should have a gun. You don't send teachers into schools to teach to with a gun background. They're there to educate children. They're not there to be a firearms expert or a marksman or anything like that. That's insane. That is the most insane idea I've ever heard.
I have to say, I was reading something the other day, and if you've ever taught middle school, it is not a good idea to have to deal with some of those kids when you've got a loaded gun in your hand. Those kids can be fucking provocative. And these teachers don't know.
Exactly.
This is the dumbest thing anybody's ever heard of, I think.
It is. LaPierre is completely crazy. And, Rupert Murdoch had it right. He called him a gun crazy or something? Yeah, on a cover of New York Post, he said, something to the effect of these gun crazy. And he's absolutely right.
Yeah, he's
gun nuts or something. Yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that kid, with the shooting of the schools, it sounds like it's actually a combination of the two things that we're talking about here, an imbalance from whatever exposures to whatever, mm-hmm. to have someone to even think to do that, coupled with the readily available assault weapon.
Right.
Well, and also
it
brings up, it also brings up, I think, mental health care in this country, which is sadly,
underfunded, under researched, under everything. It needs to be discussed more. It needs to be brought out in the open more. It needs to be implemented more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so there was just there's so many things that went involved in that whole shooting that mm-hmm. Frankly I tried not to pay attention to because it was just like so fucking out of, it's so out of control, but because like you say, my concern is the incident, the increase of incident. I mean, when you look at Arizona and that congresswoman who was shot, and then
Gabby Gifford.
Mm-hmm. Batman movie, and
mm-hmm.
And then all these little isolated domestic incidents that don't get reported because they're not getting,
mass murders.
It's just right. Your neighbor or whatever.
But it's happening all the time in mass fashion. It really is. Wives are blowing away husbands and vice versa every day of the week. It's crazy. And unnecessary. It's really unnecessary.
It speaks to our anger, too, our being able to, be balanced within ourselves. And, mm-hmm. This whole new world that we live in, no matter what level or mode you look at it in, mm-hmm. There's a lot to push your buttons. So if you can't be in control of yourself, having a gun around, it's just a matter of time
before you
happens,
use it.
But you're gonna
exactly
explode.
Right. Good
exactly.
Point. Good point. Good point. And they can say all they want about guns don't kill people, people kill people. Well, if people didn't have the guns, there wouldn't be the death. Plain and simple.
Let's use
our head.
I saw something that made a lot of sense today about guns and cars and
mm-hmm.
how nobody's taking your gun away any more than anybody's taking your car away.
Right,
but there
exactly.
is a law about you can't soup up your car and go screaming through a subdivision at 150
mm-hmm.
miles an hour.
Plus, you need a license to operate the car.
And again, even though, there's all this stuff about background checks and all these loopholes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know Governor Cuomo has proposed closing loopholes in existing gun laws because New York is comparatively strict.
Right, exactly. He wants to make it even stricter, and I applaud him for that gesture.
I think he stopped short of going all the way because he's, a corporate dickhead like the rest of them, and I still have to say he should be banning fracking, not even looking at it, but,
mm-hmm.
He is what he is.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to go on record here. I mean, I don't have a loaded gun. I don't have a working gun, but I do
mm-hmm.
have my great-granddaddy's .22.
Mm-hmm.
That he had when he was out on the prairie in Texas, and I like it.
Sure,
you know, so
right.
It's not like I'm a gun hater or I'm scared of guns. I never
right.
fired a gun.
Right, exactly.
You know, but, you know, and I can remember, I mean, my parents live in suburban Houston, and somebody said, I can't remember what was brought up at the Homeowners Association, but somebody had made a joke, by good God, in just that one subdivision, there's a whole arsenal, you know,
mm-hmm.
that people would be like, and they would take care of it, you know. So, I mean, it's not
well,
like I'm
Chicago,
a fan.
Chicago's just become the murder capital of the country, but for many years, Houston was it. And New York's shared spot there, too.
Forgive me. You know, like when we moved back to Texas the year that Nixon resigned, there was a joke going around because it was right when the restraining orders were, wives were able to get restraining orders on their ex-husbands for domestic violence. And the cops
mm-hmm.
had gotten so tired of responding to these calls that
mm-hmm.
the sheriff's department in Houston was telling the women just to shoot them in the kneecap. Because they were tired of coming out there. So it was a joke on the drive time on the drive time radio show, everybody's, because, you know, in Houston they all sit on a freeway for an hour
mm-hmm.
and a half getting home.
Right.
But that was the joke, like, don't be, you know, there was like 9 guys shot, so it was like, don't be number 10 when you get home, man, you know, because, and so when you have you know, so that's Texas for you. The cops are saying, oh, just shoot him. Because we're tired of coming out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it, you know, they,
and Jack, we have a caller actually flyover territory. Welcome to the conversation.
Yeah, where are you from?
Oh, I'm from Tennessee, actually. Jack,
nice to hear from you,
Gwendolyn Berry. Remember, I'm from the other side of the aisle, and
I listen
to everything here on BTR.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only really dialing in because chat audio for the third time crapped out. So,
wow. Okay.
But to toss in,
wow.
Okay.
Yeah, we've had all kinds of problems with BTR. It took me an hour and a half just to log into BTR today. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Leafy. Appreciate that. All those great promises for 2013. and I know him and John and Gwen and Tiffany and all the rest of them are working out all the kinks. So it's just going to take time. I know. So it was just a side joke in case he's listening. He does. Him and John and the rest of the guys listen in now and again. So just saying, okay, guys, I understand what's going on. But I'm looking forward to the 15th. I'm looking forward to Tuesday. Because Tuesday is when the Connecticut State Police report is supposed to be released. And I honestly hope that they'll have the gumption to go ahead and do that. Because
mm-hmm.
Before I was in the military, I was on the editorial writing staff of a paper. And one of my senior editors, Reggie Sinclair, in Evansville, Indiana, used to, and he was there by way of Bristol, and he was one of those brain drain emigres from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to say all the time that the first 48 hours of reporting are the most important because your snippets of facts are going to be as solid as they possibly can be. And
mm-hmm.
everything after that becomes a game of post office.
Mm-hmm.
And it made sense because I used to watch various things go down, like Iran-Contra. Was a good example of that because the first 48 hours had the best facts and then everything else was basically nothing more than either fluff
speculation
or just out and out made up.
Yeah, right.
Which we found out later on was just made up.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that very interesting. So I'm looking at the whole Sandy Hook thing in the same sort of light.
Mm-hmm.
Plus also physics and stuff like that. But, you know, the one thing that came out of that from the first 48 hours that I'm really interested in reading from that report would be the FBI's 2 cents worth from their Hoboken field office when they talked to Ryan Lanza, Adam's
mm-hmm.
big brother.
Mm-hmm.
Because numerous times before Adam snapped, there were frantic phone calls where he had snuck away to call his big brother crying because mommy is threatening to send me away again.
Wow.
Now send me away. You got to remember, autistic kids use verbal shortcuts or key phrases.
Mm.
And being the father of an autistic child, a normal average person who has no real contact with autism can interpret that lots of different ways. Like, oh, you're going to go home to live with daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to remember, mommy used 3 different sets of legislation to get her way and live well. And this is not an accusation against Nancy Lanza. This is not anything like that. But let's face it, guys. In magistrate court, she used three sets of legislation to get her way. She used the Lautenberg Amendment, the Violence Against Women Act, okay, and she used a portion of the Brady Bill to get her way. And also the whole thing that you talked earlier about down when Texas started with, in fact, that was one of the first states that started having all the mass restraining orders. And I remember that kneecap joke from when I was a little bitty kid.
Yeah, okay. Well, good. I'm glad somebody can verify it besides my mother.
Yeah.
That's Texas for you.
Not much of a joke, really.
Well, no, it wasn't because we were there for like, and you're right, it was around the time when Nixon resigned. My dad was still working for ITT. And he basically transitioned from the Army to ITT and basically still dragged our butts all over the country every other year. And I know that my mom was getting really tired of it.
Yeah.
And he would have super long hours and stuff like that. And I remember her you know, joking about kneecapping him.
We'll see, yeah.
And it was a sad state of affairs. And I'm like, and mom's a pretty good shot. And I would do that, and I really shouldn't have done that because it used to really upset my little brother. And things got a lot better once we moved to Indiana because, you know, my dad spent his last 2 years with ITT and then said, that's it, I'm done. And everybody went, phew, because we got tired of getting dragged. Because that's what people used to say, well, hey, Eric, where are you from? Everywhere.
We weren't in, my dad was with the phone company, and so we had to move every 2 years, and that's just sort of what people did back then. The corporation transferred you. If you wanted your paycheck, you had to go, you know, that's where you had to go to get it.
Well, funny thing, you should mention that. Who said that Andrew Cuomo was just another corporate dickhead?
Oh, I did.
Remember, a corporation is giving us the opportunity. Actually, multiple corporations are giving us the opportunity to communicate this way. So you might want to back off.
Well, I'm not saying.
Well, they're not all bad. Let's face it.
Okay.
They're not all bad.
We have all benefited from corporations.
Absolutely.
My issue is with CEO pay.
Yeah,
yeah.
Deviant corporation.
The CEO pay and also the way the tax thing is working. I don't dispute that there's been a lot of innovation through capitalism, and I like capitalism my own self. I have benefited from it many times. But I don't like it that CEO's pay has gone up like 75% and workers' pay has remained static ever
since. And they've
since
exported jobs in the meantime, right?
That's
well,
right.
The exportation of jobs was really necessary due, and let's face it, the telecom industry started that, since we are on the telecom aspect.
Well, you know,
I don't care where it started. I don't think it's right.
People move pants to Philippines. People move, you know, garment manufacturer offshore. Everything was moved offshore because it makes more money for a corporation to make it overseas where they don't have oversight of the EPA. They don't have oversight of workmen's, OSHA rules and all that sort of stuff, and they can burn up 175 workers in a place in Bangladesh.
They don't have fair labor standards.
There's 175 more.
Right.
So just because people have benefited from corporations does not mean that they are not destroying our environment and turning our people into, you know, wage slaves.
Very well put.
Well, one thing I will point out, because I did mention ITT a minute ago, ITT is a good example of benefit versus basically burning someone out. They're a good example of that. And I remember, they used to be the old owners of Hostess. And Hostess cut away from them because they were the ones who kept screaming, look, these union guys are choking you off. And you don't even know it. It's like you got a tourniquet attached, and before you know it, you're going to lose that hand. And then they said, hey, Hostess, you can go on your merry way if you want. And then Hostess broke away, you know, 20 years ago. And look where they ended up. And
that's not strictly due to the unions. I'm sorry, that country is badly mismanaged.
Oh, I agree. When they were on their own.
The CEOs were taking all kinds of money from them and trying to blame the unions in much the same way that people try to blame teachers and bus drivers for breaking the economy right now.
Exactly.
You know,
that's
give me a break.
Well, because it's if you think about it.
A lot of the people who are to blame are busy blaming others, and that's reprehensible.
Because typically that is an example of how what Robert Barron, Jay Gould had to say about
right.
You can hire half the working class to kill off the other half. So
exactly
when people
right.
come in saying that, oh, it's these workers that are fucking you over, like I saw a thing about when Walmart was walking out, there was that mm-hmm. little photograph going around Facebook of some soldiers saying, like, yo, you have to work on weekends, you know, suck it up, Walmart. You know, so you're going to say you're unpatriotic for not, you know, Walmart as a corporation and as the Walton family has taken their employees on food stamps. So we, the American taxpayer, are subsidizing.
Have to pick up the tab. That's very true.
There has not been a Walton family member associated with Walmart whatsoever for the past 12 years.
All right, Stank so maybe she didn't count the money herself, but they,
no,
we,
don't
the American
the timeline
people, are
jump
subsidizing
game
their low employees.
Gwen, you can't play the timeline jump-around game because you ain't got a TARDIS and you ain't a Time Lord,
number
okay?
one, this is not Gwen. This
Gwen's not on today.
Well,
hey, friend, Gwen's
Gwen
not on today.
Gwen is
not here. Gwen is not on the program today. She's out moving.
Sorry, Jack. Like I said,
okay,
audio
is
really crap today.
This is
oh, I know. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell sometimes, but that's all right.
You know, but just because she's out funding an art museum right now does not mean that Walmart workers are on food stamps. So that we, the taxpayer, are subsidizing their mm-hmm. low-wage employee and their
right.
top, you know,
been,
their profit margin.
But look at the list of all the stuff that they have on their shelves now. Look at the percentages of what's made in China now versus 12 years ago when Sam Walton Jr. left.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can't remember which page out of Alinsky's playbook is the so and who cares. Play on. I can't remember which that one is.
No, I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand your point.
Because everything on the board changed 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because only
so you're saying that, okay, look,
well, no, what I'm saying
I know people that made money off of the Walton. When they sold off their Walmart stock, we had lots of suburban friends that suddenly got a lot of money.
Well,
and they're nice people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not
yeah,
saying,
but you,
you
gotta
know.
Remember, guys. Some on your side of the aisle will just also classify them as evil for simply participating in that stock option.
Well, you know what? And that, okay. I would say that, yeah, there are people who are going to be like, I don't know. They call it static, whatever, with the socialists and the anarchists and all of that.
Yeah.
I've already
Thanks.
Said I like to take my bubble baths, and I'm, you know, I'm a bourgeois bitch who shops at Bergdorf's. Okay, I don't deny that.
But see, I'm the opposite way of that. I've never been a Bergdorf's or a Neiman Marcus kind of guy. I'm a functionality over form type.
Mm-hmm.
Which, call me pragmatist, call my 20 years in the military, you know, that way.
No, I sympathize with your argument. With that aspect of your argument, I'm very, very aware of that.
I just get
know,
really
but,
kind
but
of
no,
tired
I'll
practice
just
to make up your mind what you want. And we all
you know,
have points on the spectrum, I know. So,
yes, we are all on a continuum, much like when people are on the autistic spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's
so that
a good
sometimes,
point.
You know, sometimes it gets pushed all the way to the edge, and sometimes you're just in the middle.
And
you have a different constellations
we
of beliefs, huh?
But, Christina, it takes us back to what we were talking about with Adam Lanza. Something caused a snap effect. And I'm directly, you know, because remember, he had both a personality disorder on top of autism spectrum disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a bad combination.
So it's a bad cocktail, guys.
Right.
And mm-hmm. like in the case of my little boy, he has smatterings of each. He can be the sweetest little child,
mm-hmm.
but his siblings know his trigger points, and they sometimes
irritate them. Yeah.
You know how siblings are.
Sure.
Sure.
And it's
how
not.
How old is your boy?
But he's 8. But you know how that is? Here's the opposite point. when other kids in the neighborhood are picking on Isaac, they're the first ones that come to his defense, and they're like, hey, you – and, of course, other little kids in the neighborhood do that too. You know Isaac's not supposed to be picked on like that. That's not cool.
Wow, that's awesome.
Which is how one kid ended up being kind of like, I don't know, excommunicated from the club, as it were, for several weeks this summer. And finally I said, guys, let Joshua play again, okay?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
He
learned his
lesson. Isaac took it a little too far. Isaac wanted to whale the crap out of him with a 2x4. It happened.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is kind of important, okay? March on. And Joshua, you did wrong.
Yeah.
Life is a college basketball game. You committed the foul, hold up your hand, take the heat, march on, hope you learn from it.
That's a good analogy, and I hope I hope he learns from that, and I hope that we never have the opportunity, not that it's an opportunity, but we never have the chance to read about him doing something like Adam Lanza did.
I agree. That's the key thing. All of my weapons are in a safe.
Thank God. Good. Good for you. You're a responsible father.
And I change the keypad 3 times a year.
Yeah, good man. Good man.
Well, there's – are you kidding? This place is what some call home field advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaac will sometimes say, if the bad guy comes in, I know where the hammer is. but you're not supposed to just take the hammer from where I expect it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we need to, say, work on the deck or work on your treehouse – work on the swing set, we need to be able to find it, right?
Yeah.
Like, and he always begrudgingly,
Maybe just tell him, Isaac, Daddy thinks it's a better idea for you to just call the police. You know?
No.
If there's a bad guy around.
No, that's his brother's responsibility.
Okay, well, you've got it.
No, we've already
delineated.
Had when people show up. Numerous
the main
times.
Thing is that you've addressed it in a thoughtful, responsible way,
exactly.
In what you think is best.
But that goes back to the police for the state police. I'm looking forward to finding out how far Nancy really pushed his buttons.
Right.
Because
my nephew is has Asperger's and it's different than just general spectrum, but it's a lot of it similar.
I know a fellow that has Asperger's as well, and it's not the same, but it is quirky. There's no doubt about it. It's different.
Well, especially
with
the antisocial aspect of it, because
with the antisocial aspect.
Right, because when Isaac's kicks in, because his is always around strangers, and he's probably the best judge of character. Some strangers, he doesn't have any sort of trigger of it. Some he'll be, and I find he's a great barometer. He's kind of like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know how most dogs are really good judges of character, what somebody's intent might be, just simply because of the pheromones.
You can just kind of tell. They've got the intuition.
Right. Well, actually, it's got to do with sweat response and stuff like that normally.
Right,
but
yeah.
I got a funny feeling when it comes to intuition, though, with autistic children, I think that's very factual.
Mm-hmm.
Because just by the person's stance and how they're coming across, because some police officers, Isaac just sidles up to. He thinks they're cool as all get out. In the case of some police officers, and he can tell they've had a bad day. He'll be like hiding. Like the most recent time he had dialed 911.
Maybe he's hiding from the ones that go home and beat their wives and their terrorize their own children. You know, they are out there.
Maybe.
Yeah,
and it could be the guy who's had that one bad exchange with just an ordinary traffic stop and the guy still hasn't gotten over it.
But I think that when kids have, what we could call, deficits in certain areas, and typically autism is most profound in the social arena, they also have ways of compensation, and they learn to cope, they make coping mechanisms of their own. And so it would make sense that if, some things are harder to understand, such as facial expression, that he's going to get a more global feeling from the whole person. He might be more attuned. Or developed his radar in a different sort of way.
Well, and that's a good point, because I've seen a lot of autistic kids, not just in his classroom setting, but also in the therapeutic setting once a month down at Vanderbilt Children's. I've seen how I was having a bad day one day trying to get down there. It just traffic alone was murder, and it was just really starting to get on my nerves. And Gracie, one of the little girls, just didn't want to be around me. And she even made a side comment to Isaac that I overheard saying, "Your dad's really mad, isn't he?"
Wow.
She is so much farther on the spectrum scale that she has no emotional, this girl is, you know how, remember when Microsoft Speak first came out, how the voice always sounded the same and there was no inflection? That's exactly how Gracie is.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Gracie is flat across the board. You can't tell if she's happy, sad, upset, out and out pissed off at somebody, nothing like that. There's just no fluctuation.
And yet she picks up on what's going on
around
her.
She's your other daughter? She's your daughter, you say?
No, she's the daughter
of
a friend of mine.
She's an autistic person too then.
Yeah, and she's the same age as Isaac, which is because those two will sometimes break away from the pack and just go build blocks.
On their own,
On their own, and then
play
destroy the castle.
Okay.
Wow.
After 10 minutes worth of work, you know.
Wow, amazing.
Knocking it over is the best part half the time.
Well, yeah, I know. And what's interesting is because, like, I guess her dad or her mom, one of the two, because they're both always there, and I never can tell which is which, and I never got a chance to ask them. But it's easier to destroy than to build. Let's do this.
Oh, yeah.
And of course she said, you know, Wrath of Khan. She just says it real, real deadpan, Wrath of Khan. And I remember the first time I heard her say that, you know, and I just giggled because it was funny as all, because, you know, I've seen Wrath of Khan. Yeah. And she'll say those little homilies every now and again. Needs of many. Needs of the many.
Yeah. One word speaks a thousand, you know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And she's got the same verbal sort of shortcuts like Isaac does, but there's just no emotional variance.
Right.
So it's kind of cool.
Interesting how it manifests itself differently in different children.
And at different age points as they're developing, which is fascinating. So that's where I'm wondering about in the case of Adam Lanza, because here's this kid that was born in 1992 who didn't get a definitive diagnosis.
Well, they don't get a diagnosis. They couldn't even diagnose it until like 5 or 6 years later, really.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, no, in his case, remember, that's like the renaissance. The early 90s was like the renaissance of autism diagnoses. And yes, we have Barry Levinson to thank for that. Thank you, and Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
let's face it, even then, you know, the poor kid wasn't diagnosed until he was, what, 13?
Yeah, my goodness, yeah.
Which is a shame, and all they did was just basically stuck him in special needs class because they don't want to call it special ed anymore.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because somebody's feelings might get hurt.
Well, it comes back to our topic about or our belief on mental health that we need to explore that more rather than hush it up, and we need to focus on it big time because the end result justifies the means. There's no doubt about it. And
that's
if the end result means a lessening of the effects of the Adam Lanzas of the world, so be it. Let's have it. Let's have it right away.
And I'm really curious as to find out why in the world somebody like T.J. Jones from the Chadron, Ohio armed assault from last year is because of they're now doing evidentiary discovery on him because his case. You know, he shot and killed three of his fellow students and wounded four more. And that was the one where the shop teacher tackled him.
Thank God for that.
Yeah,
guys,
thank God for the social studies teacher who was doing triage on the wounded, which helped out.
Yeah. Thank God, yes. Big time.
We have about 40 seconds left.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. We'll see you all next week, everybody. Jack Jodell from Saturday Evening or Saturday Afternoon Post saying goodbye. Gwendolyn will be back with us next week, and it's been a pleasure talking with all of you.
Yes, thank you all so much. It's been a lovely opportunity to sit in with y'all. So
thank you, Nicole, for helping out.
Yes.
We appreciate it.
And thank you, Trish, and flyover territory. What is your name?
Our friend from Tennessee.
Our friend from Tennessee. Thank you very much.
Okay, right. Thank you all.
Everyone, have
see you
a
next
good
week.
Day.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye now.